If the church is the body of Christ, then what does it actually do? When you think of being part of the local church, does it include actively serving in a way that feels energizing and life-giving? Or does your congregation seem to be a place where few people actually do any serving at all? Let's take a look at some of the factors in the local church that help it dynamically and powerfully meet the needs of the congregation, the community, and the world. All of that today on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Thrilled that you're here today with us. Thank you for joining us. We've got a great episode lined up as we talk about ministries in the church and how to build up and form up ministries and how that affects the overall life of the church. Before we get into the episode, we had a great weekend preaching in the mountains of North Carolina up in Franklin. So just really enjoyed our time up there. Bruce was able to reconnect with some dear friends of our past, and so that was always good. And just had a great weekend. How about you guys in the middle part of North Carolina? What was going on for y'all this weekend?
Well, actually, my wife and I we took a trip up to the mountains and mm-hmm. and did some produce gathering. We didn't pick it; we just bought it from a local mountain grower, and so we came back with a bushel of green beans, a bushel of cucumbers, and we ended up picking up a few beets, some small red skin potatoes, a little lettuce. We did a bit of shopping. In fact, yesterday my wife, actually all weekend, Saturday evening and then Sunday afternoon, she canned 24 quarts of green beans, and she's got her pickle run going, so she'll be canning pickles later in the week. So
well, if the end of the world happens this week, y'all are ready, so you're prepped and ready.
yeah and you know, it's a busy day for us, you and me, because we're doing a lot of podcasting today, trying to get some episodes in. We got a lot of things in front of us between vacations, missions trips, and so we're trying to get as much information into our podcast and get those front loaded and uploaded and ready for viewing over the next few weeks. Excited to be here today, Charles, and building off last week as we talked about the ministry of the teacher, I'm excited to really hone in on two of the important functions that the teaching gift has some oversight of as mm-hmm. a leader. And that's in the area of ministries. So Charles, lead us into this. How can we better understand ministries in the local church?
Sure. Well, let's try to give a few statements for some definition. I think I would begin with this idea, that the ministry function identifies, develops, and releases the work of Christ through the people of the church. So primarily what happens through ministries in the church, again, it functions in a way that identifies people, develops, and it releases the work of Christ through the people of the church. And that's because obviously we're raising up people to be ministers. We're developing them to be ministers of Christ. And so that's that first and foremost. That would be the function of ministry. Second is that this function of ministry, it houses the workforce of the church. So again, we're raising up believers to be ministers. Yes, we're trying to help usher people into the kingdom, into the family of God, but we don't want to just leave them there. We want to develop them. Again, identify them, develop them as ministers, and release them into ministry. And so that's what this ministry function does. Paramount to this kind of understanding is that every believer personally receives ministry gifts from Christ. And I just think that's amazing. Jesus gives every believer ministry gifts. So again, those of us that are tasked with leading the ministry function within a local church, what are we doing? We're identifying people that with these gifts, identifying ministry gifts. We're developing ministry gifts. We're releasing the ministry gifts through the people of God in the local church. Another statement would be that Jesus, who is obviously we recognize that he is now risen and he has ascended, he provides these ministry skills and graces so that believers can accomplish his work for those in the church and in the community. So not only does Jesus provide the gifts, but he gives us the setting and the context by which to release the gifts within the local church and then within the community that this local church is to serve. So, just quick and kind of a brief overview there of the ministry function. This is established by Christ. This is Christ's ministry. This is his church. And the church is engaged in the ministry of Christ. Jesus gives the gifts. And as those of us who are called to lead the ministry, to steward well the ministry, again, we're identifying those gifts, developing those gifts, releasing those gifts in the church and through the church into the local community. But it all comes from Christ. It all originates from Jesus. He is the giver of the gifts, and he's given us the places to release those gifts in the church and in the community. So, Bruce, kind of with some of those ideas in place, how would you assess the health of most churches when it comes to ministries?
Well, Charles, I would assess it the way I think a lot of outlets have assessed ministries in the local church, because it's pretty low. I would say the health is not strong, and I think there's a couple of reasons why. I believe the first difficulty is really a lack of strategy. I think every church suffers from a lack of workers, and most churches haven't developed a strategy or a process to identify, to recruit, to develop, and place those gifted workers into ministries. And that's sad, because we have the assumption that Christ has given the gifts, that he is risen, he's ascended, he's glorified, and he's empowered the church through the Holy Spirit. And to think that he's done that, and we collectively as the body of Christ are not walking more fully in that, that's alarming to me. That's an indicator of poor health. And so I think that the first difficulty really is a lack of strategy. We just don't identify those gifts and invite people into growing and learning what those gifts are. If I were to think about some other difficulties, I would say they revolve around really a lack of focus. I think maybe the first lack of focus is that ministries in the church are more focused on human need, but they don't connect to fulfilling Christ's mission for the church. For example, kids ministries in the local church, it can function, not always, but it can function in the thought that, well, we have kids here, we need to do something for them, rather than what's the mission of Christ for kids ministry. And so if you believe that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on our sons and daughters, and that the little children should never be forbidden to come to Christ, that God is actively working in kids ministry. So we don't want to focus our ministry just on the urgent present needs we see around us. We want to be missional. And so directing those ministries toward mission, because the mission is always there. The need for it may not always seem visible, but the real mission is there. And I think if you connect ministry to mission, then you can generate a lot of vision, a lot of energy, but that tends to be off focus a lot. And then a second focus ministry that I think is misguided is ministries can often become silos where those ministries focus most of their energy on meeting the needs of individuals within the ministries, rather than that, again, that missional focus where we're losing the larger picture of what's the need of the congregation. How can this church be more healthy? And so, again, ministries can tend to become inward. The church has a real problem with getting inward rather than looking at the larger picture. So that would be a second focus, I think, that's misguided. And the truth is, you know, the original question was about health. So when the health of the church is low because of this lack of strategy and these lack of focus, then I think the difficulties is that those gifts of Christ that reside in individuals, they never get activated. They remain unidentified. They're not developed. They go unused, but the gifts are there, and yet we don't do a very good job of bringing those out in the life of the church. I think secondly, another difficulty is those unformed teams of individuals who are gifted and anointed by the Holy Spirit and genuinely gifted for ministry. They end up on the sidelines. They're not being utilized, and that can lead to a lot of frustration. I think one of the reasons for disconnection in the church is those pathways into ministry, those prizing and treasuring and developing of those gifts for ministry just lay dormant because people are not active in using them. And I'd say, you know, maybe a third difficulty is that Christ's ministry in the church is suffering, not only in the church, but in the world. And so the mission is unfulfilled. Anytime ministry gets focused more on need rather than the larger mission, then I think it's possible that the mission of Christ is less fulfilled, maybe completely unaccomplished in that local church setting.
Yeah.
So Charles, help us out. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, as I'm listening to you speak, I'm thinking, a few things kind of standing out about, silos. Ministries can become silos. So what I'm hearing you say is that the church operates as a whole, and so ministries, every ministry should not exist for itself, but should work together to lift up the church as a whole. Am I tracking with you?
Yeah, absolutely, because that's a missionally focused ministry. Well, that ministry, it's what a silo does is it just continues to build up grain. And so when I think of ministries being siloed, or any organization where a department gets siloed, well, they're existing for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they may recognize we're part of a larger company, large organization, but they never connect their importance to the larger organization. And so that can happen in ministries.
Okay.
I would say, ministry health in the local church is lacking because of disengagement, exactly what you're talking about, that it's not connected to the larger body. Charles, if that's true, then is there a way that we can reframe ministry and get a handle on that?
I think we can maybe begin to take a different look at what ministry is. And maybe what helps would be a picture, an illustration. So the ministry system in the local church would mirror the skeletal system of the human body. You know, when we talked about small groups, the function of small groups in the local, we referenced, the skeletal system providing an infrastructure of relationships within the church. Well, in the ministry function, those relationships are utilized to perform the work of the church. And so again, small groups provide a network of relationships that serves as the infrastructure for the church. In ministry, the ministry functions now use those relationships to perform the work of the church. So something that we don't often think of is that small groups and ministries are closely entwined, closely connected. It's hand in glove. And so as we're thinking about this, the skeletal system, you know, that obviously provides structure and provides strength for the human body. And so likewise, the ministry function takes the relational infrastructure of relationships, and through those relationships, ministries operate, ministries function within the church and through the church into the community to perform the work of the church, to push back darkness, to advance the kingdom of God. And that's why relationships are so critical in the life of the church, because not only does it help form up the church, but relationships help to release the ministry and help to accomplish the ministry of Christ in the local church and through the local church. And so it's so important that we don't silo our ministries, but that we work together. We look at the kids ministry or youth ministry, men's, women's, senior ministries, adult, whatever those ministry those separate ministries are. They are not existing just for that age, for that demographic. And it's not a race to see who can grow the biggest ministry. It is a partnership. It's a collaboration that through relationships, all of these ministries are working together to lift the whole, to lift the whole body, to lift the entire local church. Now, I think that's a critical shift we have to make in ministry leadership, is that if I'm over the youth ministry, if I'm overseeing that, my job is not to beat everybody else, but there's a mandate on this ministry to serve the kids ministries, to serve the senior adults ministries, to help lift this entire church, because it helps, number one, it helps keep us relationally connected, but secondly, it keeps us missionally focused. This church does not exist for just the youth ministry. Rather, the youth ministry exists that through relationships, through the people of God, to help lift the entire church. This ministry function utilizes the infrastructure of the skeleton to release the energy and life of the church. Again, we've talked about that through relationships, through ministries. And so as we're kind of reframing, kind of rethinking about ministries, not only does we're using the illustration of the skeletal system in the human body, so not only are we providing strength, but we're providing a release of ministry, a conduit, a way, and a means by which ministry is released into the church and into the local community. Bruce, any thoughts? Anything that I've made clear as mud that you need to kind of refine for us?
No, I think you're on an excellent flow there, and it seems like it's a broken record every week, but the importance of relationships in the local church, strong relationships, are the conduit for effective ministry. And when you describe the importance of small groups, that relational component in ministry, they're inseparable. And mm-hmm. I think we've made the point that, you know, small groups in a church is not just a ministry of the church. It is the rails. It is the conduit for ministry to happen throughout the body. Yeah. So I thought that was excellent. And I'm really glad that you made that point again today.
All right. Hey, thanks, man. That means a lot. I don't get a lot of compliments from doctors, you know, so I appreciate that. Let's talk about a little theology or a little philosophy. regarding ministry and the ministry function. Again, we touched on this briefly earlier, but every believer has received a gift from Christ for the purpose of accomplishing his ministry. I can't stress that enough. Every believer, if you're a follower of Christ, you've been gifted with the gifts of Christ. He has given you his gifts. He's given us his gifts for the purpose of accomplishing his ministry. That is deeply humbling that Christ would choose a broken, flawed individual like me and impart himself into me and ask me, invite me to come and share in his ministry with his gifts. On one hand, that is exhilarating to be able to share in the life of Christ and participate in the life of Christ. But on the other hand, deeply, deeply humbling that Christ would invite me into that kind of relationship with him. So every believer, if you're listening today and you're on the fence, well, I don't have any gifts. Listen, every believer has received a gift from Christ for the purpose of accomplishing the ministry of Christ. Another point of theology or philosophy here would be that not all ministry in the earth is God's ministry. God's ministry consists of those ministries that he initiates. Man, I'm telling you, I could camp out on this one for a long time. This is just an important point in my opinion. Not all ministry in the earth is God's ministry. We consider God's ministry to be those ministries in which that he initiates. And so, we just have a tendency to kind of be copycats. I think I've said this before in another episode. You look at professional sports leagues and their copycat leagues. If one team has success with a certain style of play, give it a couple years, the entire league will have moved and adopted that style of play because they're looking for success. And I think we have adopted that kind of attitude in the church. And I think the better, I don't want to say alternative because it should be the standard. I think the better choice is would be to, instead of copying what everyone else is doing and trying to make our ministries imitate and emulate, you know, the flavor of the month that's happening in a different part of the country or the world. I think the better choice would be to exercise spiritual gifts, especially the gift of discernment. And instead of saying, well, let me just do what this church is doing or this youth group or this kids group is doing, would begin to say, God, what are you initiating? If it's, you know, Jesus tells us, John 5:19, I'm only going to do what I see the Father doing. What is God initiated? What is Jesus doing in the earth? What is Jesus doing in the local church that I serve? What is his activity? If I remove the effort of my human hands, and I don't put any energy or time or resource into it, what is God still blessing in the local church? What is God still doing? You begin to unearth and mine and discern the activity of Christ in the church. That's where I want to begin. That's where I want to build. That's where I want to start. That's where I want to begin to form and build up ministries within the church. Now, is that to say, you know, there aren't some principles and things that we can glean from other quote unquote kind of successful ministries? No, certainly there are some things that are always things we can learn. But but our default should not be, well, let me just look and see what's successful. It should be, in my opinion, it should be identifying the activity of God, understanding what is God initiating. What is God, to me, to initiate means to make the first move. What has God made the first move in regards to ministry in this local church we're serving? Where is he active? What is he blessing? What is he breathing on? That's where I want to begin. That's where I want to really have a clear idea of his activity. So
Charles, I gotta say, yeah. you said you could camp out on this all day, and mm-hmm. and I could too. I mean, we could just build the campfire, pitch our tent and just talk about this forever, because you know the existence of needs around us is not always the beckoning call to ministry.
Yeah.
It's what Christ is initiating. And I have a friend, he pastors an elder-led church. It's a different leadership structure from what I'm used to and probably what you're used to. But he has an expression, I just love it. It's just full of wisdom. He says, look at the nation of Israel, 12 tribes, one nation. He says, you know, the woodcutters don't build the ships, and the shipbuilders don't cut the wood. God has a unique expression for the local church. And I think it's important to remember that even denominationally, those differences are there for a reason. They're there historically because God was initiating something new and fresh at the origin of that ministry. And he does that in the local church. And so when I look around and I see needs, now God can use those needs, the existence of those needs to pierce my heart and initiate ministry in that direction. But it could very well be that he's also opening my eyes to see something that other people aren't seeing. And so, you know, we want to be sensitive to those things that Jesus is initiating, and not just using the resources and the labor of your church to do something because another ministry has made it popular, or another program has come out that is labeled as cutting edge, and if you do, you're going to grow your church. You want to go for that authentic expression of what is Jesus doing? What do we see Jesus initiating in this local church? And so I just had to give my amen around the campfire for that one, Charles, because that cannot be said enough, that God's ministry consists of those things that he is initiating.
That's right. So, man, you've jumped in and you've saved me from myself, Bruce. I was getting lost in this romantic notion of the activity of Christ. So, man, I appreciate that. But it is true. We have to identify where is Jesus active and what is he doing. And so, something when I pastored, and I still try to live by, is this statement that if I'll say what Jesus is saying, if I'll go where he's going, if I'll do what he's doing, then we'll get to participate in what he's blessing. We've just got to make sure we're in alignment and in agreement with the activity of God, so that we're not trying to create or replicate some human form of ministry, but we are in alignment with the divine, with what God is saying and doing and how God is acting. So that's what we're trying to say here. With this, let's move on with some more kind of theology. I would say this, that we said that every believer has received a gift from Christ. I would follow that up with that all of God's people are ministers. Every believer should be a minister as well. All parts of the body of Christ operationally are essential. Listen, we need every believer to not only possess a gift, but to develop and exercise a gift. And that, you know, there's two parts to that. Certainly there needs, from the leadership side of the church, there needs to be pathways and processes and systems that we can help people develop and exercise and release those gifts. But on the other part of that, the other side would be that as a believer, there has to be, I have to have enough faith and to want to release those gifts, to trust that, yes, God has given me gifts to use in ministry. And so, Lord, here are my gifts. And you know, I give them back to you. Use these in your ministry. I've heard it said that the greatest ability is availability. And so I think that that's where it begins with us individually as believers, is that we recognize, yes, Jesus has given his gifts. I have ministry gifts residing within me. And so, Lord, I make myself available. I'm going to develop those. I'm going to mature in these gifts, but I'm going to use and exercise the gifts as a minister of Christ. And so I think we have to make that fundamental shift in the local church that, yes, all of God's people are ministers, and that that all parts of the body of Christ are essential. The last thing I just want to mention is that God initiates ministries to advance his love agenda and to meet human needs. So ministries, like you've talked about, oftentimes we think about we're going to do this ministry to meet a need, and certainly ministries meet needs, but they also have to advance the mission of Christ in this world. They can't simply just meet a need. They have to, in the meeting of the need, that ministries have to advance the mission and the missional agenda of Christ in this earth. And so just a few things about theology in regards to ministry. So Bruce, you've probably got some great practical steps for us to kind of take all the theology, the philosophy, the difficulties and things we've talked about so far to give us some practical, measurable things we can begin to work on with ministries. Help us out.
Well, Charles, I thought that was fantastic. You nailed the theology of ministry there really, really powerfully. And I think that's the important thing to remember, that ministry is not an idea that's just, again, just shaped by the needs or the convenience or the tradition or the program. I think that's another difficulty, is that sometimes because a program exists, it suddenly becomes a ministry in your local church. And you know, we can't settle for that. We need to find, what's the activity of God in this local church? What gifts is he activating in our people? And be mindful of that. And so it takes a new approach, I think, to ministry in the local church to begin to raise up ministry. And I would say, you know, if I could leave you with this visual, that if we don't take action, then we're not just leaving people in their gifts sidelined. The reality is we're leaving Christ on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to move the ball down the field, or maybe on the basketball court, trying to execute, you know, a defense that's going to change the momentum of the game. But you're leaving Christ on the sideline. The one you need in the game is not there to help. And you're leaning into other things to help your church get to a place of health and effectiveness without having the right players. So that was the analogy that just seemed to be fitting. So how do we approach that? I think a good number, just for leaders to be thinking about, what's a good number to shoot for? I would say, try to begin to mine out, discover, and identify, recruit 30% of your church adherents. Go for 30%. That's a really good, it's an achievable number, but it's also a number that's going to create some movement. So go at least for 30% of your congregation, your adherents, to comprise a minimal workforce. That 30% would go along with 10% of leaders that we've talked about before. It's important to identify 10% of, of adherence in your church's leadership. So this would be an addition to that. But then what you're doing is you're getting 40% of your church involved as a ministry infrastructure that has leadership and direction, but it also has a gifted workforce. You're bringing Christ off the sidelines into the game. And there's tons of ways that you can begin to do that. What I wouldn't do is just say, hey, we have a need here. No, I would lean into people's passion and their natural bent. And so I would say a great conversation starter can be spiritual gift assessments. And you can find those online. We have access to those if you want help from us for those resources in the local church. In fact, I'm going to be working with a church later on this fall and helping them work on their spiritual and understanding of the spiritual gifts in their church. Charles, I know that you do that with congregations and pastors, but anything that you can do to bring in that 30% is going to be vital, and you've got to help them see what their gifts are. You need to help them to see how vital they are to the local church. If you will invite passion, I think you'll be surprised at how ready that passion is, especially in a church that hasn't been doing a great job at getting that gifted, passionate labor force into the ministry function of the church. And, you know, it's one thing to get that 30% on board. It's another thing to start training and developing them and to placing them in the workers as workers in that infrastructure of ministry. And so be thinking about 30%. And what I would challenge you to do is don't think of 30% where you are now. Like if you're a church of 100, don't just go for 30 people. Mm-hmm. Think of your church at the next level at 125, 150. And start pulling in a percentage based on that number where you want to be, because you're building a pattern and a habit for that infrastructure of ministry. So Charles, do you think that gets us off on the right foot?
Absolutely. You know, I would just challenge everyone who's listening or viewing to this episode just to think about your church for a moment. What would that look like if 30% of your congregation is actively volunteering in ministry? They're doing the ministry tasks of the church. How incredible, how transformative could that be? And then even not at the current level that you're at, but like Bruce said, say you're a church and you feel like with God's help, you know, we could grow to 125. What if 30% of that next level you're actively identifying those ministers and those ministry gifts, you're actively developing and releasing that ministry into the local church and into the community through the church? How transformative could that local church be? What kind of a powerful witness and testimony could that church be in the local community? In the local community, I think it's just groundbreaking, and I think if we'll take a moment, take a few seconds to kind of do that exercise, I think it gives you some room to dream, it gives you some freedom to breathe a little bit. That my, you know, this church that I've been working and laboring in doesn't have to be or have a lack of workers any longer, but there's some practical, tangible things that our leadership team can begin to practice to lift this church in the ministry function, and that will lift this entire church, not just a ministry, but the entire church. So, I think that 30% number is fantastic. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today here on the Five Gifts Podcast. Remember to like, follow, subscribe, and smash that share button. Help us get the message out. We're so thrilled each and every week to be able to host a podcast episode for you. Thank you for joining with us. If you want further insight or would like to work further or closer with Bruce or myself, you can reach out to Bruce at coachingcardia.com. You can find me, Charles, at charlesrussellministries.com. If you have church-related questions or if you're in a setting outside of a church, reach me at charlesrusselltraining.com and we'll, Bruce and I both will work our best to serve you in the best way possible. Well, hey, we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.